I've made a lot of special modifications myself.
1.21 gigawatts.
Make it so, number one.
Hello, and welcome to the third episode of Geek Ed Out, or Geeked Out. I'm Matthew, and I'm here with
Amy.
And today we're going to talk about something that's really sort of taken off very, very quickly. I'm sure you've seen people walking around your neighborhood staring at their phones in the last few days.
And it's not Snapchat this time.
Oh, yeah. No Snapchat this time. In fact, we're doing a little safari hunting is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it's probably blown up on your social media, definitely Facebook, Twitter. You've probably seen quite a bit about, and this is?
Well, if you are a child of the, 80s, early 90s, you've probably heard of this before, but we're talking about Pokemon. And in fact, in this case, we're talking about Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go is an app, and it's an app that allows you to use augmented reality in order to catch Pokemon. Now, you heard about this through an interesting source.
Right. We were in Best Buy, my son and my mom and I, and my son was looking at something that was on Pokemon on the computer, and the sales clerk got really excited and started talking about the new app. And I said, well, so what is it? And he explained it to us. And so ever since then, our son was just like, when is it coming out? When is it coming out? When is it coming out? Because, of course, he's obsessed with Pokemon.
And, of course, it just came out on July 8th.
Right. So. Just this last Thursday it came out. It was launched.
Yeah, and so what it does is it uses a platform known as augmented reality, or in some cases they call it mixed reality. But augmented reality is something that I've been using in education for quite some time.
Yeah, a lot of people might not realize it's been around quite a while.
In fact, as early as like the 1970s.
Yeah.
They were mixing together video and computer software and trying to sort of bring the computer world into the physical world.
Right. We're going to talk about a little bit more about augmented reality in just a second, but I want to talk about some of the opening day statistics of Pokemon Go real quick. So on opening day, 5.6% of Android users, and I know that seems low, but still, that's pretty high, downloaded Pokemon Go on their device, which is free, by the way. Reported amount that was invested by Nintendo and Google for Pokemon Go was $30 million, so that's quite a bit of money. And the estimated amount of revenue Pokemon Go generates from the iOS App Store in the U.S. is $1.6 million daily. Now, you're like, wait a minute, she just said it was free. How are they getting money off of it? Well, we had that same question, like, how are they going to get any kind of money off of this? But, of course, they have their in-app purchases.
Not only that, but I'm sure they're partnering with other businesses to sort of bring people into their business as well.
Right. So if you have, limited numbers of different tools that you can use to catch Pokemon, and you have to purchase more. So that's the in-app purchases. That's their revenue that they're kind of coming up with.
Now, you can get supplies from Pokestops, and we actually have a Pokestop that's right down the street from our house.
Yes, we do.
It's a large inked chicken at a tattoo parlor, and whenever you drive down to this chicken, you can spin it, and it will actually give you Pokeballs and eggs and other things just by spinning it and going to that location. And what's nice about it is that you have to get outside to go and do that. Right? You have to go and walk.
You actually have to engage in the world around you, which is something we've been talking about in some of our past episodes, mm-hmm. about really stepping. Yes, technology is great, but kids do need to interact with the real world, where now you've got this device, this game that's blending the two quite well.
Yeah, and what's nice about that is you really get that high-tech, high-touch. And that's what we're looking for in all of education. You want to make sure that whatever you're doing is something that's meaningful, but also blends that hands-on with the technology. I'm going to talk about for just a moment augmented reality. I'm not going to go too far in detail with it, but I do want to talk about the fact that there are a lot of possibilities with augmented reality in general. Think about being able to impose a computer-generated animation on top of the real world.
There's an app that you use quite a bit for this.
Yes.
Wow, really great app.
Well, that one doesn't really impose the computer animation so much as you can actually have a video pop up whenever you have a trigger item. So,
but it's a similar concept.
Right, it's called Aurasma. A lot of educators use Aurasma now.
Can you spell it, though, just in case?
It's A-U-R-S-M-A.
I put him on the spot there. See if he can
A-U-R-A-S-M-A. Aurasma. Sorry. But with Aurasma, what you can do is, for instance, let's say you have an ESL learner. You could have a word that's written in English, and then you could actually have an explanation pop up as a video when they trigger that by looking at it through their smart device. So the video would be superimposed on top of that word.
Is augmented reality also similar to a lot of the translation apps that are out there, where if they see a word, then it gives you a translation, or is it using similar technology or no?
This has to be done manually by a user. Okay. Yeah, so you have to produce the content that you're putting up there. Now, you can also have 3D animated objects, which is what Pokemon Go is. You have those 3D animated objects that are imposed on the real world. So it's kind of like a blend of animation and the real world, like Bedknobs and Broomsticks or something like that. But what's nice about augmented reality is it takes a physical object. And in the case of Pokemon Go, you're looking at geotagging. So they are tagging to a specific location. But you can also have a trigger item. So for a trigger item, you can have any kind of symbol that you want for a trigger item. And that trigger item can trigger an animation. It can trigger a video. It can trigger an image. But it imposes that object on top of the real world. And that's really what augmented reality is. It enables you to make a change in the real world with digital content. Google Glass was one of the first devices to do this. Not that it really lasted very long.
Yeah, it didn't really take off
up as much. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure the world was ready for it yet.
Well, that and you looked pretty silly walking around.
I don't know. People look kind of ridiculous now, too, though.
Well, yeah, they're looking at their phones now, though.
Our childhood's never been more excited about going to Lowe's or Walmart since this app launched.
Not that we go there all that often. It's just, you know, at least he's got a reason to leave the house. But with augmented reality, really the possibilities are sort of endless. A lot of cars are using this now in terms of self-driving cars and other functions in heads-up displays on cars, similar to what you might have in an airplane cockpit, where on the windshield you're just getting information displayed across the top.
And I think that's really interesting that you talk about the driving piece, because they partnered with Google, probably Google Maps, to create this app, which before we even knew that piece of information, we were talking about how did they do this? How did they build this infrastructure, this mapping technology? It was like, they must have partnered with Google Maps, and then they probably did.
Yeah, and it's really sort of a mashup app is what it is. You take something that already pre-exists, a database that already pre-exists, and you mash it together with something else to form your own purpose for it. And so that's what Pokemon has done, or the company that does it, which is...
Nintendo.
Well, it is Nintendo, but it's a little bit...
Oh, the technical one. Hold on, let me find it. It's like... Oh, Nymastic or something like that. I'm probably saying it completely wrong. Niantic Labs.
Yes.
And now, just also so you know, this app hasn't launched worldwide yet. It's only been launched in the United States, New Zealand, and Australia. So, and the stats that I quoted were first day stats. So, and there's not a lot of data out there yet about its usage, although I imagine some interesting numbers are going to come out. For example, it's almost surpassed Twitter usage on Android users. So they're using Pokemon Go more than they're using Twitter for Android devices, which that's pretty amazing.
That's very amazing when you think about, you know, how many people are using Twitter anyway. You know?
Oh, yes.
So, but I think there are a lot of educational possibilities for this app.
Oh, definitely.
And there are already, you know, organizations that have started to use this as a way of drawing people in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we read a really great article on Forbes, and I'm going to pull up the title in just a second. All right, the title was Forbes.com, and it was How Pokemon Go Can Lure More Customers to Your Local Business. So we were talking before we even read this article about what does this mean for businesses? Because a location can be, what is it called? What is the term?
A Pokestop.
A Pokestop.
Or a gym.
or a gem. So when they pass these locations, they can, you know, spin a dial or something along those lines, and then they get prizes. They get more Pokeballs, or they get other, you know, freebies that they can then use. And like we have several near streets that we live, but we're like, what is the potential for businesses? I mean, you're really pulling in people who are coming to the location just to be, because it's a Pokestop, a gym, or a gym. Two different ones, right?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm completely wrong about that.
She hasn't played the game yet.
I played a little.
Okay. So, but what's interesting about some of those...
I'm the one driving while my son and he are in the car playing. So that's why I haven't played as much as they have.
Well, but going back to those Pokestops for just a minute, you can get eggs there. And what's nice about the eggs is they almost force you to do physical activity, because you have to walk 5 kilometers in order to be able to incubate your egg. And so in order for that egg to hatch, you have to start incubation, and then you have to walk for 5 kilometers. And you would not believe the number of Twitter users yesterday that were complaining about sore legs because they'd walked all day trying to get their egg to hatch. And what's nice about
it doesn't work on a treadmill, does it?
No, it's geotagged. So it's GPS oriented. So when you're walking, it has to see that you've walked a distance of 5 kilometers outside.
Right, so that's forcing you to definitely engage. Mm-hmm. So shaking that phone isn't going to get you the steps in that you need to hatch that egg.
Yeah, so all those of you out there that have the Fitbit who sit and shake your watch, that doesn't really work for this. But in terms of physical activity, the possibilities are endless, because what you've got is you've got different Pokemon in different locations based on the type of Pokemon that they are.
Right.
And then on top of that, you've got the ability to have different Pokemon at night. So you could go to the same location numerous times and catch different Pokemon. However, those Pokemon do start to sort of be collected, and then different Pokemon will show up later.
Right.
So, you know, with the physical activity component, I think that provides a lot of interesting possibilities for physical educators, and also just getting students up and moving around.
Right, and then going to places that you might not necessarily go.
Right.
You know, or driving. And that's what I was talking about, like the Pokestops, and how businesses could potentially use this. And in this Forbes article, they talk about one business that posted a sign that said, you know, this is the Pokemon are only for paying customers. Mm-hmm. And they said that was the wrong approach. You should really kind of flip it and use this to your advantage. Whereas another location said, Pokestop inside, come get your Pokeballs and previously rocked threads. So they're using it as, you know, a positive. And then Crystal Bridges, which is a art museum here in Arkansas, our state.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the most innovative uses I can think of when you're talking about Pokemon Go, because what they've done is they found out that they have Pokestops all over the museum grounds, and so they documented the locations and
different Pokemon around tagged to different artworks.
Right, and that's really cool, because think about it. What if you're trying to get students to learn about particular artworks? Well, what better motivation than to go and catch the Pokemon and then come back with information about the artwork as well?
Right, and it's interesting because they took photographs of the Pokemon around the
which
artworks,
you can do with the app,
and they did a blog about it. And for example, they have Pikachu, for instance, hangs out around Dan Flavin's light installation untitled. That's not surprising, as Pikachu's an electric Pokemon and this is an electric artwork.
That's awesome.
So they did this all around Crystal Bridges. So imagine if other museums get on board and do that. That's really introducing kids to all kinds of artwork and history.
Right.
And they're engaging with it in a different way, which the potential for learning is just really amazing.
Yeah, and when you think about the idea of them being in different environments too, you could really study different biomes, right? You could look at, oh, well, what happens in a more wetlands kind of atmosphere, right, or environment. And then they could go and find those Pokemon and see what kind of traits do those Pokemon have. They aren't, you know, they aren't real world animals, but they do have similar traits to those real world animals.
Well, I mean, you could always tie in how are they similar to animals that exist within those environments.
Exactly. So, and then you could have them design their own Pokemon based on real animals.
Well, given a set of parameters,
right,
of environmental parameters, design a Pokemon that would be able to function in this environment,
yeah,
and justify your reasoning. I mean, it's a great learning activity that kids of all ages would be willing to do.
Well, and you bring up a good point there when you talk about kids of all ages, because this app has blown up not only for kids, but for adults as well. We actually saw someone in Home Depot today, and we were
not Home Depot, Lowe's.
Oh, sorry, Lowe's. Either way, we're not getting paid by either one.
No, we're not.
But we saw them in Lowe's, and my son said, "I've been playing Pokemon Go all weekend," and the guy said, "I have too. Maybe we should get together and we'll put out some incense so we can draw some Pokemon in." And so it's really cross generational.
Well,
in terms
of
the game,
it's creating a sense of community that, you know, opportunities for community that haven't previously existed.
Right. In 4 days.
Right. 4 days.
It's just, it's amazing how quickly that happens. And when you look at the fact that we could be harnessing this for use in the classroom, why not? You know, why not teach math through Pokemon? Why not teach science through Pokemon? Why not teach social studies?
Literacy.
Literacy. Writing. Write about your Pokemon. Give them a name. Write a story about all the Pokemon you catch. You know, and then you get these experience points along with your Pokemon, and you can upgrade them and evolve them, and you talk about evolution. You
well,
could
and
talk
think about what people are learning about geography, even of their own community.
Right.
You know, and people were joking about planning vacations on Facebook around Pokemon. You know, I mean, it's just, it opens yourself up to potential for new experiences that you might not necessarily, you know, expose yourself to.
Right. And when you go on vacation, there are different Pokemon geographically. So not only are we talking about, oh, well, water Pokemon might be down by the lake, we're also talking about the fact that in a different geographic location, you're going to have different Pokemon.
Or one of my Texas friends jokingly said that the Texas should have fire Pokemon because it's so hot there right now.
What was that meme you found the other day? It's so hot here in Arkansas. I just saw a hobbit run.
Two hobbits throw a ring into my
front yard.
Yeah, it's been kind of warm down here in the South recently.
Yeah. But, you know, when we're looking at the possibilities, I think that as educators, we could really come up with a wide range of things we could do with just this one game.
Well, and if you're talking about in terms of business education, too,
mm-hmm,
how could you use this kind of gaming device to bring in business? Or how would how would you change your business strategy? And not only here we have this hugely popular game, this could potentially be one of those game changers for, you know, marketing and advertising,
well,
just like
Twitter
social
was
media
well,
was, just like
Snapchat is
Netflix
now, you know,
was for movies and
well,
DVDs.
Exactly.
I mean, this could potentially be a real game changer for how we interact with businesses and locations. And mm-hmm, we don't even know yet where it's going to go from here, but it's really
right,
interesting and fascinating.
Well, and there will be new features in the future. In fact, you'll be able to trade Pokemon. You'll be able to, you know, exchange them for money if you so choose. I did get a little sad today, though, because I tried to transfer my Pokemon, and I wanted to see what would happen, and it was a Pidgey that I had, and I transferred it, and I only got one Pidgey candy for it.
Aww.
And then I felt really sad because I lost my Pidgey.
I know. Our son gets very emotionally attached, which actually, that's
empathy,
dealing with a lot of emotions from kids who get attached to specific Pokemon. Mm. And is it true if you battle them that you might, and you lose the battle, you'll lose them, or do we know that yet?
I don't really know that yet. But in terms of the way it works in the card game, that would be the way it would work. If you battle and you lose the Pokemon. Well, I don't think that he's ever going to want to battle anybody.
Our
if
son
that's
will
the
definitely
case.
Not be battling anybody, but he gets very attached to his Pokemon. Mm-hmm.
But you know, there are a couple of tips if you haven't started the game yet. I read the article after I'd started the game, but one of the things that they said is they will give you starter Pokemon that you can choose from. However, if you do not take any of those starter Pokemon and you choose to ignore them four separate times, they will offer you Pikachu. And of course, everybody knows Pikachu is the most coveted Pokemon, right?
Right. Our friend that we saw at Lowe's today mentioned the fact that he wasted, what, 35 balls to get Pikachu?
Yeah. And then, of course, we have some people who will go insanely out of the way to get a Pikachu, like the man in up north that actually ended up causing a wreck by stopping in the middle of the highway to catch a Pikachu.
Oh, my goodness. Just not smart.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the things that as a society we're going to have to look at, because we're not used to using augmented reality.
Well, and that brings into some of the concerns that people mm-hmm. have for the game. And we've talked before on this podcast about how we need to get kids more out there and taking risks and chances. That being said, I'm not going to let my 9-year-old walk down the street by himself. It's just not going to happen.
Even though as kids we did.
And that just kind of, you know, is mind blowing to me that it's just not the same today as it was when we were growing up. And so, you know, if a child wants to go for a walk because they want to, you know, play Pokemon Go, and we say no, mm-hmm. you know, no, you can't have that learning experience because of safety. So there yeah. are some definite safety concerns.
So I got up this morning and I went on an early morning
walk. You did. You did go on a walk with him.
Yeah.
So definitely be careful, you know, for that kind of thing. Also, and there is a warning on the app, and a lot of even like Crystal Bridges on their blog, they mention it too. You know, be careful. If you're on your device and you're focused on that tiny screen, there may be other things that you miss. So you don't want to depend upon that to be your only source of visual input. And you might end up tripping or falling, that kind of thing.
It's similar to texting and walking. And we've all seen those videos on YouTube where people walk right into a fountain or into a wall. So just be careful with how you are interacting with your device.
Well, and there was the girl that found the body, right?
Right. She lived in front of almost like a ravine. And so she was looking for a water-type Pokemon. So she climbed the fence behind her house to go down to the ravine. And there was something floating in the water. And she began to look a little bit closer and realized it was a body.
Right.
That's a little scary. But then again, think about it. We're going places we haven't gone before, which then, you know, makes you more aware in some ways of your surroundings.
You just need to make sure you're not breaking any laws when
True.
You go to those places.
True. In fact, police stations have said they will not allow people in, even if there is a Pokemon in their building.
Wow. So yeah. They've kind of already...
Yeah, they've already nixed that one.
Well, and you would think that Nintendo, Google would realize there are going to be certain locations that just aren't going to be accessible by people.
Right. And think about those businesses, though, that were chosen to be Pokestops. And,
you wonder if they were told ahead of time.
Yeah. You're going to be a Pokestop. Or you're going to be a
They
gem.
Probably were contacted like 4 years ago and have no clue, had no clue what it even
like
meant. And they're like, sure,
different
whatever.
Owner now. Like, why is there this Pidgey in my store? But you know, it does beg the question, what could this app be used for that maybe is not so good? And you know, there was actually just recently, I believe it was today, wasn't it? Or yesterday, there was the robbery that took place because teenagers were lured in, 11 teenagers were lured in, and robbed at gunpoint.
Right. So that goes into not losing your sense of common sense.
Right. I think the van had like free Pikachu inside or something like that. Come on. It's like candy from strangers.
Yeah.
You don't take candy from strangers. Yeah. You don't take a Pikachu from a van that says free Pikachu inside.
No, definitely not. But you do have to be careful. But still, with any new technology that comes out, there's always going to be those people that take advantage of it, and there's always going to be the dangers that are not always thought out completely when you have this number of people doing an app, or you know, in this case a game. So you always have to kind of be aware of that and be careful.
But it's a cultural shift. That's what we're talking about here. We have to have a cultural shift in how we interact with technology.
Well, and I would get frustrated sometimes. I think Pokemon offered a lot of learning potential even before this app ever was launched in regards to math, because of all the numbers that are involved with that. And it was really discouraged in schools. In fact, kids weren't necessarily allowed to have Pokemon cards out. So, but yet, so there's a lot of learning potential that's not just around this app. This Pokemon itself and the actual cards could offer a lot of learning potential.
Well, and the other thing that you have to remember, and I'm going back to what I just said a second ago, it is a cultural shift. And that cultural shift involves, for instance, if you have a rock, you can use that rock to hit somebody over the head, or you can use that rock to hammer in a nail. What we have to do is we really have to teach our students to use this technology responsibly. And that involves talking to them about being aware of your surroundings, talking to them about being careful, talking to them about all of those dangers that we've stopped talking to them about because they don't go outside.
Because we don't let them.
Right. We don't let them go outside because we've just said, okay, well, instead of teaching you how to think for yourself, we're going to keep you inside and we're going to keep you safe. And now we have to think about, okay, now we're taking this instantaneous, I mean, this is an instantaneous cultural shift. And not to say that it's going to be around forever, but augmented reality will be around for some time.
Oh, definitely.
And so going out into the real world and using technology at the same time is going to be here forever.
Right.
And so what we have to do is find parameters, find ways of getting them to understand that there are dangerous things out there and that they need to be cognizant of what they're doing while they're playing.
Right. And that's very difficult for our son to be aware of his. It's hard enough for him without anything else to be aware of his body. Mm-hmm. Add that technology piece to it as well. I mean, it's just a whole nother kind of, you know, level of concern I have about his own safety because he just isn't aware. So it's right. Constantly reinforcing those, you know, how to be careful, how to use it correctly, when to use it, when not to use it.
And it's not the technology that's bad. That's the thing that I have to keep reminding, I think him, but also myself and others, is that the technology itself is not bad. It's how it's used. And it's how carefully it's used, and it's the way it's twisted, too. So you have to critically analyze that technology while you're using it, and also use it in moderation.
Right. And if you are using this app or any kind of Pokemon or other gaming in the classroom, really ask yourself, what is my purpose in having them do this learning activity or using this device? What are they getting out of it? What skills are they coming away with? And then have them reflect on that learning as well, because then you're not just using it as a gadget. We don't want to use the technology that's available to us as educators just as gadgetry.
Mm-hmm.
We need it to be really purposeful in the classroom so that kids walk away and understand why they did it, how they did it, and what they got from it.
So I have a question for you. How are you going to use Pokemon Go in your English language arts classroom next year when you're teaching?
Well, I think, like we talked about, if you have say you had a science fiction book or story that you read that was about, you know, described a specific kind of environment, having them create, you know, a Pokemon that would match that environment, or having them write the backstory of a Pokemon character. So you could do a characterization activity, you know, with students if you're studying characterization, and then how visuals match up with the actual personality description that's given. Because in Pokemon, how they visually look definitely matches up with their personality. Mm-hmm. So, you know, talking about that in terms of, and you wouldn't necessarily have to use Pokemon for that activity, but you could have that available to students who are drawn to that. And so that's just giving kids choice, right, which I think is important in the classroom.
Well, and I think that the way that I would use it and the way that I think it would work really well is to really have them go to specific locations to catch Pokemon, because it actually has a little feature at the bottom that shows you where they caught that Pokemon. And so they could do screenshots of where they caught it. So if I had students go to a museum and I wanted them to look at this, 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 and this, and I could see exactly what time they caught that Pokemon. I could see where they caught it. Mm-hmm. I could see, that could make them, take a picture of where that Pokemon was. And it's like documentation that they were there. Right. They did
concrete evidence.
Right. There's that documentation component, but it also is sort of an engagement component too, because it's driving them to want to go, to want to catch those Pokemon, because you got to catch them all.
Well, and there is a certain level of frustration that comes with this game as well. True. That's healthy for kids to work through and adults to work through. Like, our son was getting really irritated because he wasn't catching them. And so, it's that reminder of, it's not worth getting this angry about. It's mm-hmm. not worth getting this frustrated about. This is for enjoyment. So reminding people of that, and that gives kids good practice for working through mm-hmm. that frustration.
Well, and the Pokemon get progressively harder too.
Right, you don't catch every Pokemon that you throw a Pokeball at.
They can get out.
Oh, they can get out, definitely. Yeah.
And so one quick tip here is you can actually hold down the Pokeball until you see the little green ring get really, really small, and then throw it at them. That is the easiest time to catch them, and that's to ensure that they'll actually stay in the Pokeball.
Well, and sometimes they do.
Yeah, they still do get out.
So,
well, we're here at our 30-minute mark. So go out, have some fun with Pokemon Go.
You can tweet at us, I can't talk, at Geek Edu Out. That's GEEKEDU OUT. So feel free to contact us. We have 6 whole followers right now, so maybe we'll get one more.
Well, and maybe you can even subscribe and enjoy more of the show later.
All right. All right. See you later.
See you next time.
My call.